ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। एट् सुरेन्द्रस् हौस् संडे नवंबर 19, 1882। आफ्टर द फर्स्ट स्टॉर्म ऑफ डिवाइन पैशन इज क्वेल्ड, वन ग्रेजुअली अंडरस्टैंड्स that God alone is the highest good, the eternal substance, and all else is transitory. Every word of Sri Ramakrishna has a deep meaning. Once Swami Vivekananda had declared, I have spoken nothing but Upanishads, and of the Upanishads, nothing but fearlessness and self-confidence, Atma Shraddha. So when a spiritual aspirant starts practicing spiritual disciplines, a lot of storm, what Sri Ramakrishna calls storm, takes place. What is the storm? Tremendous battle between the worldly impressions and the spiritual impressions. One great Russian classic, it is called the Spiritual Warfare. One of the best books that I have come across, until we realize God, it is nothing but constant, continuous warfare. But there comes a time when a sadhaka, an aspirant, understands, accepting complete self-surrender to God, there is nothing else anybody can do. That is one of the topics Sri Ramakrishna is going to discuss, and we are going to discuss today. So only when Sharanagati, when a sadhaka understands that complete self-surrender is the only way, then such a person becomes like a kitten calling only Ma, Ma. That was one of the prayers of Sri Ramakrishna mother. I do not know anything. I am a fool. All of us are fools. Fools means we are completely submerged in ignorance. What we are talking even about God is nothing but expression of our ignorance. God is existing. He is there out somewhere. He created this universe, and everything in this universe is created by Him, or He became Himself. He is only appearing with various dresses, like a actor. In every new cinema, he puts on a new dress. Our body is the biggest dress, and it is changing continuously from babyhood, childhood, adolescence, youth, middle age, old age. We can observe, and we get worried also. I see lot of hair slowly turning grey, and then white. Everything is changing. And this is all from the viewpoint of ignorance only. Is there no change? The real nature of human being can never change. Atman can never change. Brahman can never change. But a war, literal war, what is it? The war is between our desire for God and our desire for the world. That is what has been so graphically described in the Katha Upanishad, a battle between prayas and srayas. Prayas pulls us down, wants us to remain ignorant. Srayas wants to get out, struggles very hard, and many times it is pulled down. And every time we think we have achieved something, and then our mind is suddenly brought back even lower than what it used to be, then we are shocked, surprised. So this is the battle. That's why it is called spiritual warfare. Is spirituality the only warfare? What about worldliness? You look at all the wars that are going on, and that will go on. There was a Russian sociologist. He wrote a beautiful book. Therein he has written that among all the known human history, only just a few years that can be counted on our fingers are free from relative wars every year, either local or national or international wars have taken place. War is the norm. Peace time is very less. Study the history. How many billions of human beings have been put? They have been conquered. They have been turned into slaves. They don't have even the rights of an animal. Even animals are loved. Dogs are loved. Horses are loved. Cows are loved. Why? Because it gives us benefit. It is our nature to express our love. So some nations outdo the other nations in keeping pets. Pets are more reliable, more faithful, more lovable, never betray us, usually. But human beings can betray at any time. So what are all these worldly wars about? It's all about what Sri Ramakrishna used to call kama and kanchana. That is enjoyment and the means of enjoyment. And that is called artha and kama. And they are also considered as the goals of human life, purushartha. How come? Because there are two ways of achieving. Dharmic way, adharmic way. Virtuous way, the way of evil. And most people think virtuous way doesn't work. That's why even on the flag, satyameva jayate, truth alone triumphs. But unfortunately, we expect the results to appear immediately. I'm truthful, so I should not undergo any suffering. But for what? For a mysterious reason. And the right reason, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen anywhere to anybody. Even if they're unrighteous also, they also have to suffer. You read the mythologies, especially Indian mythologies, even Greek mythologies, you will see the gods get angry and try to destroy. If you study the Greek mythologies, you will find how much wars are going on between the gods. And they have their own favorite people, favorite children. And if something happens to their children and they take up to war and try to destroy the other god, after all we are reflections of the gods only. They're manifestations of gods only. And therefore we are not separate. Our nature is not separate. All because of the ignorance. What is ignorance? I am completely different from everything else. That is the acme of ignorance. And out of this, this is called dvitiya dvai bhayam bhavati. That word bhaya, straightforward translated, will be fear. But true is my jealousy, my lust, my anger, my pride, my arrogance. If there is no second one, in front of whom am I going to show my pride? My arrogance, my jealousy, even these negative feelings require somebody as a target. I am angry with you. I am jealous of you, etc. Dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna is referring. And he was very fond of using this word storm, describing his earlier ways of spiritual practice. He said, I took up the post of the worshipping the Divine Mother, and without my either knowledge or desire, something possessed my head, and it took me through a storm for nearly 12 years. I was not aware of the world at all. A storm indicates the highest force, either for good or evil. And then, what is the result of this storm? A worldly warrior fighting for worldly goods, to own, to possess worldly goods. After long time, he gets tired. He understands. Vain. All is vain. Everything is vain. And then one day he wakes up. And then the inner war starts. And then At the end, he understands. Crystal clear understanding comes. Every time he fights, he becomes a little more wiser, understanding. And at the end, he realizes that I cannot do anything. Sarvadharman parityajya means I have not achieved anything by faithfully following most of these dharmas, means pathways. But there is only one way left. Not that there is no other way. I surrender myself. Whether he is a jnani, he has to surrender. At the end, when he reaches the highest peak of Savikalpa Samadhi, he understands, this is not the end, but I can go no further up. And then he surrenders to what he calls either his guru or he calls the Parabrahma, pure Brahman. Whatever, the idea is the same. Surrender. And when that surrender, with that surrender, comes tremendous peace of mind, then Sri Ramakrishna is expressing that passion is quelled. Divine passion. Passions are of two types, worldly and divine. And through the spiritual struggles, when the divine passion is quelled, when is it quelled? When one comes to a crystal clear understanding that accepting God, I cannot do anything. So then he understands God alone is the highest good, because what is struggle? Struggle is to think there is something, some other good, other than God, besides God. So most of the devotees are like that. I want dharma, I want artha, I want kama, of course I want God also. But in the bucket list, God will be at the very bottom. But a time will come when all other desires will be left out. There will be only one item in the bucket, and that is called God. Then he understands, he realizes God alone is the highest good, eternal substance, and that all else is transitory. So nothing is what is called shunya, non-existence. No, everything is nothing but manifestation of God, but it is transitory. So when someone is asked to renounce the world, jagat mithya, it is indirect way of saying mithya is based upon satyam, truth. Therefore, hold on to that truth. That is what is meant, because whatever is transitory, changing, dependent, that is called mithya. How to understand this? Sri Ramakrishna himself is repeating umpteen number of times. We have no option but to repeat, because our purpose is not to complete a book, but to try to understand what Sri Ramakrishna is trying to teach us. So, Sri Ramakrishna continues, one cannot grasp this without tapasya and the company of holy man. The greatest, one of the greatest tapasyas is the company of holy men. In the very gospel of, at the very beginning, probably on his third visit, Yam had come to see Sri Ramakrishna at Dakshineswar. Sri Ramakrishna was giving the example. Once a man had fed a peacock with a small dose of opium at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And next day, exactly at 3 o'clock, the peacock had come again for another dose. What Sri Ramakrishna did not elaborate was that only after 24 hours, until the peacock dies, it will come. No. So for a few days, it comes at 3 o'clock. After that, the intoxication becomes, the effect of the dosage becomes less. So he will start coming at 12 o'clock, then at 9 o'clock. That means the more we cultivate the company of holy, then the effect becomes, we feel the effect, we want it more and more. That is called intoxication. I want it more. Parasparam bhavayantaha. So in the Bhagavad Gita also it is said that when two devotees meet, they go on embracing each other, talking to each other, only about God. You speak, I listen. I speak, you listen. So, parasparam bhavayantaha. They go on, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Yet, each word of God, the joy, the intoxication. Intoxication means, I cannot live without it. Here, just I wanted to make a little bit of light version. So when we enjoy something very happiness giving, a sweet, or watch a movie, beautiful, or read a book which gives us real joy, and that is it. But the word intoxication is something. What is intoxication? We forget the whole world and our craving increases. Until we get to that craving, we cannot really progress towards God. And I am thought after hearing this example of the peacock, how apt, because he was thinking, how soon can I go? He could not come because of his, he was a family man, he had to earn his livelihood, he has to work as a teacher in Vidyasagar's school, but whenever he gets the least bit of leisure, immediately he runs to Sri Ramakrishna. And with what joy he had experienced. And Sri Ramakrishna was a past master. He narrates several parables. And one of the parables, as you remember, Dada Madhusudana, elder brother Madhusudana. This story was told for the first time. M heard it from Sri Ramakrishna's mouth. And it produced such an impression. Whole time after that, whole night, he was only thinking of it. And then, next morning, he had to go to answer calls of nature and perform his ablutions. So he went there and he was sitting. M was in the habit of getting up very early in the morning. So he went there and then he was sitting after finishing all this. And that thought, Dada Madhusudana. So he started recollecting that parable and shedding tears. And then it produced the effect upon somebody else. I am not remembering correctly. Either M was crying or he heard some devotee crying in the Panchavati jungle. Dada Madhusudana, Dada Madhusudana. At that time, M had what is called 1,000 eyes. He had that nature of observing everything because he was divinely appointed to become the writer of the gospel, like Ganesha, with a tremendous memory, power of memory. So, M was shedding tears. Suddenly he noticed Sri Ramakrishna had also come on his way to answer calls of nature, and he heard this cry of Dada Madhusudana, and he was standing and must have been very close. Even in the dim light, Sri Ramakrishna's eyes had become wet. So, Sri Ramakrishna's every word used to intoxicate because it is coming from the Divine Mother. It is Vedavani. It is not mere a pandit's vani. So, you understand that one realizes gradually that God alone is the highest good, the eternal substance, and all else is transitory. But one cannot grasp this without tapasya. Just by hearing, one cannot grasp it. How many people had heard Sri Ramakrishna? How many people even now are reading and hearing Sri Ramakrishna's words? Whenever you read a book, somebody's book, you are hearing. Even if you are reading your own book, you are hearing your own words. So, what is this tapasya? This is what we have been studying in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Beautifully, what was it? Tapasa brahma vijignasasva. Tapo brahmeti. Tapasya is another form of Brahman. What does this tapasya do? It washes away all the unspiritual tendencies and it brings out all the divine qualities and it reveals the truth to the aspirant. And Sri Ramakrishna said, for 12 years, I did not know what was day, what was night. A storm, as it were, had passed, just as a big storm. Especially if you are traveling on a ship, then what is day, what is night? That thunder, that rain. So when it lasts for several hours, is it night? Is it morning? Nobody can see. The boat is tossed up and down. How many boats had sunk also, especially in the triangle of Bermuda. One cannot grasp this without tapasya. And tapasya part of that tapasya in the company of holy men. And holy men doesn't mean, is actually Sri Ramakrishna means satsanga, company of the holy. And it can be spiritual books, spiritual talks, meditation, going on places of pilgrimage, etc. And Sri Ramakrishna continues, what is the use of merely reciting the written parts for the drum? It is very difficult to put them into practice on the instrument. What can be accomplished by a mere lecture? How fortunate we are that Sri Ramakrishna, out of infinite compassion, why do I say infinite compassion? He has been teaching all of us. Why? Because are we really adhikaris in the Advaita system? Unless a person becomes endowed with the fourfold qualities, it is not possible even to grasp the words of the Guru. He will not be a fit person to enter. This is the one. So austerity, very necessary. By that alone, one can comprehend. Tapasa Brahma Vijignasasva. And then somebody asked Sri Ramakrishna about caste distinctions. And we may think, after reading about caste in the gospel, we are in the 21st century. Have we been able to remove the caste system? Absolutely no. What is caste system? We belong to a particular class. Either it can be called class. In India, it is called caste. In Western countries, it is called class. So we belong to the millionaire club. There is a billionaire club. Naturally, only few billionaires are entitled. First qualification is one must become a billionaire. I don't know whether a trillionaire club exists. So they want to be exclusive. That is why even in aeroplane, first class, first class, second class, economy class, etc. Classes are there. So all these classes we have to understand. Class distinction. But in the eyes of a genuine spiritual aspirant, there is neither class distinction nor caste distinction. Even a chandala. Shankaracharya had learned from a chandala. Even today his followers have not learned the lesson. Just imagine, one of these Shankaracharyas is passing by and a chandala with a chunk of meat happens to pass by. What do you think? The Shankaracharyas will be there. And if several such people are passing by, then what would be their reaction? They have not learned. They are still leading that kind of life, which is called orthodox Brahmin's life. But even an orthodox Brahmin, like Shudhiram, has not observed these rules and regulations. Everybody was welcome to come. Holy Mother, belonging to such high caste, once she invited one Amjad, a Muslim, but a person who was very fortunate person to have the greatest blessings of Amjad. And Holy Mother knew about his habits of robbing. Why was he robbing? We have to understand that his nature was robbery, robbing. No, Holy Mother understood this happened because of the British policy. They wanted to deprive millions of Indians. Indians used to grow indigo from which blue color is obtained. And that they used to color the cloths they used to make. And that growing up indigo was probably specialized by these Muslims. And Muslims have been poor in India because only poor people, they have been neglected by Hindus for centuries together, and out of desperation, they have turned into Muslims, and some of them had turned into terrible enemies. So in Bengal, there was a person, so Kalajar or something like that name is there, and he killed thousands and thousands upon Hindus. Naturally, the sins that we Hindus have committed have to be paid according to our karma siddhanta. It doesn't matter whether a person believes in it or not. The effect of any action is inevitable. Holy Mother knew very well, better than anybody, that He was not a robber by nature. This Amjan was forced. Many other Muslims were forced to become thieves, highway robbers. Why? Because they have families. They love their families. They love their children. But they have to feed them. They themselves have to eat. So there was no legal option open for them. Therefore, they have to go and do it. Many times we see one of the reasons people turn to thievery, stealing, is because of their need and the society is responsible for them. Very few people are there because stealing gives them joy. They turn into stealing. We have to understand this psychology very well. Holy Mother knew. He is a good person. He is a spiritual person. And he was an extraordinarily fortunate person to come into contact with Amjan. And he used to bring lovingly. So one day he was invited to sit. And then this Nalini, one of the nieces of Holy Mother, was throwing food from a distance. Holy Mother had one look at it, snatched the serving vessel from Nalini and started loving, feeding Amjan. And Nalini screeched, "Aunt, you lost your caste by even coming near." Holy Mother might not have touched, but that is called caste system. And we read about it in stories, especially Sharad Chandra Chatterjee had depicted these atrocities that had taken place, how widows were raped by their own relatives, and when they are with the child, they're kicked out of their homes, and the society hated them. Come to think of it, that there was Mary Magdalene. Jesus Christ had went. She was found to be having, she was caught as an adulteress. Can somebody become adulteress without a man by the side? And what punishment are you giving for the male? In these Judaic religions, women are looked down upon for a long time, long time. Even today, I feel like laughing when I hear what is the role of Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. She is only an interceptor. You pray to her, Mother, you tell, like Hanuman was one king who was about to be killed by Rama. He went to Mother of Anjaneya and then he prayed, "You please save me. Tell me your son is about to kill me." This is beautifully depicted in a beautiful cinema called Rama Anjaneya Yuddha. And then when Anjana Devi, out of pure, innocent lady, she gave shelter without thinking. Now she remembered her son. Immediately he came because he is Vayuputra. So like a wind he came. "Mother, what is your commandment?" Says, "You protect. This is my commandment. It is not a commandment. It is my wish. And the wish of mother is a commandment for Rama and for Anjaneya, for Lakshmana, for everybody." So immediately, because of the mother, Anjaneya decided to kill this fellow. But now Anjaneya became the protector. And there was a battle between Rama and this king actually. And the king was being shielded and in front was standing Hanuman. Rama warned, "I want to kill because my guru Vishwamitra commanded me I should kill this king for no reason. Horrible reason. Not that the king has done anything wrong. A great lesson has to be, many lessons have to be learned by studying these Puranic stories. Later on they say, oh, we were testing you. We did not really mean how much of suffering." Somebody had said, the whole world is nothing but a cat and mouse play. Somebody remarked, for the cat it is okay. What about the mouse? So, this Anjaneya stood with folded hands. He can't fight his Ishtadevata Rama. Rama warned, "Get out of the way. I want to kill that king." Anjaneya said, "First you have to kill me, then only you can kill." And then Rama, he discharged the invincible arrow. and that arrow came with tremendous power to cut off the head of Hanuman. Simply Hanuman stood and started chanting, Rama, Rama, Rama. And that arrow, how can it kill Rama? Hanuman became Rama. So it became a beautiful garland. I wish I could learn that mantra, because every day we can have beautiful garlands. So the lesson learnt by Vishwamitra was, don't hurt any one of my devotees, because hurting my devotees is like hurting me. And Vishwamitra learnt, and Rama knew the devotion of that king towards himself. But this is the way he wanted. Indirectly, Narada created this drama to teach Vishwamitra, don't be arrogant. You may be a great rishi, but you are not equal in devotion to this king, whether it is Ambarisha or whether it is this king who was greatly devoted to Rama. Such beautiful stories are there. What I am trying to tell you is that only surrender, become a kitten, and let God do whatever he wants to do. If a person surrenders to God, then he becomes God's. That means whatever the master, the way the master looks at the world, that is the way the devotee also acquires. That is the insight. That is the outlook. Brahmavit, Brahma eva bhavati sarvam khalvidam Brahma. He can look only, this is my ishtadevata. Like Prahlada used to see his own father as a manifestation of Narayana. So, why I am quoting all those things? Our caste distinctions, our class distinctions have become less now? Have they vanished? Have we become greater now? No. How do we know? Sri Ramakrishna is telling. There is only one way to remove them. That is caste distinctions, and that is by love of God. And if one doesn't have love of God, these distinctions, dvitiya, dvitiya dvai, bhayam bhavati. Bhayam means desire, bhayam means anger, bhayam means greediness. I want to possess you, your family, your property, your country. Whoever has got the power, they want to do that. And it will not disappear until one is imbued by the love of God. That's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. Nowadays Indian politics have become caste politics. So this man is from my caste. Whether he is selfish, he is not doing anything for myself. People are fools. They don't understand what these leaders are doing. They are not having any love, any goodwill towards anybody else. Me and, if possible, my family alone. Sri Ramakrishna crystal clearly tells, lovers of God have no caste. Because, let us recollect the saying of Rabia, the greatest lover of God. Once somebody was castigating her, criticizing her, and then somebody asked, Rabia, such and such persons are criticizing you severely. What do you think about it? You know what Rabia said? I have no time to think what one thinks of me, whether I am a great saint or a great sinner. I am so much intoxicated by the love of God, absorbed in the meditation on God, that I do not hear what others are thinking of me. And she also told on one occasion, people have to be careful. If somebody hates me, they are hating God. They are hating themselves. They will come to the greatest grief. And it was she who declared this marvelous statement. O God, if I love you because I want to enter into your paradise, kingdom of heaven, then exclude me from the paradise. If I am loving you because of fear of hell, burn me in hell. But if I am loving you for your own sake, keep me not away from you. Do not exclude me from you. That was Rabia, one of the greatest Sufi saints. Sri Ramakrishna says, there is only one way. and that is lovers of God have no caste. Through this divine love, the untouchable becomes pure, the paraya no longer remains a paraya, and that is why Chaitanya embraced all, including the parayas. The members of the Brahma Samaj sing the name of Hari, that's very good. But Sri Ramakrishna perhaps did not want to expound more on this subject, and then he is trying to encourage, see the positive side. The members of the Brahma Samaj, they are very good. They sing the name of God and Sri Ramakrishna. Why is he telling? Oh, Sri Ramakrishna said, singing the name of God is very good. He appreciated our singing of God's name. Everybody requires some, what is called, kudos, applause. So Sri Ramakrishna is appreciating. Let us think more about God. But not only that, there is a secret we have to understand. If anybody sings the name of God in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna, even the other persons will be carried away by the intoxication that Sri Ramakrishna used to feel on those occasions. The very remembrance of God used to throw Sri Ramakrishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, into ecstasy. Not to speak of that, it is said Swami Vivekananda was the Amsha, the born of the part of Shiva. Shiva is supposed to be Rudra. The very name Rudra means Rodayati Ita Rudraha, one who makes you weep, because he is equivalent to death. He is called Samhara Karaka. Srishti, Sthiti are done by Brahma and Vishnu. Laya is done by Paramashiva. So, Rodayati Iti Rudraha. So, but one has to be careful that very Rudra will be dancing in ecstasy, singing, uttering the name of Rama called Taraka Mantra. He loses himself in tremendous intoxication. So, in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna, everybody, anybody, even the most skeptical atheist, also used to be caught in the net of Sri Ramakrishna's ecstatic joy. He cannot but be joyous. And this is the phenomena in the life of everybody. That's why Sri Ramakrishna says, when Sri Rama entered into the Dandakaranya, 64,000 rishis who were only meditating on God, knew nothing but God, but did not get that much of intoxication. But as soon as they were in the presence of Sri Rama, they enjoyed so much, intoxicated. What is the nature of intoxication? I want this drug again. So they all said, Rama, we don't know. Sri Ramakrishna or the books only give us very brief mention, but we have to exercise our imagination. They must have felt the tremendous intoxication and then requested, fell at the feet of Rama, we never want again to leave your presence. That means your intoxicating joy, that is what we want. If Rama did not give them that joy, they would never have requested. But they felt, and they never felt it before. And they understood, all this intoxication is because of the Rama. He is the root cause. And if he goes away, we will be back to square one. Therefore, this, they all begged, we want to be with you all the time. What a nuisance. 64,000 fellows surrounding, not allowing Sri Rama to take a bit of rest, to take leisurely bath at water sport and all those things. So, very adroitly, he said, not in this life, but you be born as gopis, I am going to reincarnate especially for you, and at that time, I will show you, this is nothing, but what I am going to show you, that Madhura Bhakti, that is the highest peak of intoxication, it is foreign made drug, pure drug, heroin, I will give it to you. But not in this life, I have, my mission is different, I have to do something else. And then he escaped this. So, in the company of Sri Ramakrishna, nobody can escape that intoxication, and then slowly they associate. even if they do not understand, ultimately perhaps they understand, is the presence of Sri Ramakrishna that gives the intoxication, not because we were chanting God's name and we will be chanting God's name, but we are chanting God's name now in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna, and because of him, all this intoxication is coming to us. But then, they also associate that this intoxication comes, it is associated eternally with the name of God. That is why Sadashiva Brahmendra had composed Rama Nama Rasa, Pibare Rama Rasam. What a beautiful song, all in composed in Sanskrit, Kirtanas. So, that is, until we realize this rasa, then what happens? Such a devotee, let he be passing, and suddenly he may be hearing his Ishtadevata's bhajan, sung by a low-caste person somewhere. Low-caste doesn't mean they cannot be devotees of God. Many, many low-caste people are more moral and more devoted to God and good character, perhaps, than anybody else. When a devotee hears it, he doesn't discriminate. Who is singing it? Is it a low-caste person? No. He is singing God's name. There is a beautiful incident. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his mother's permission to live in Puri. He wanted to go away, but his love for his mother Shachi Devi prevented him. He said, "Mother, if you don't give me permission, I will run away. I will never again appear in your life. But if you give permission, I will stay in Puri, and sometimes you can come and see me, because Navadvip and Puri are not that far away, a few days journey." Then it is a kind of spiritual blackmail. Shachi Devi had no option but to accept. And then he was living. And as Sri Ramakrishna says, Chaitanya Deva used to be in three states in Puri. When he is completely conscious of the body, he is to sing the name of God and dance. When he is in a semi-conscious state, he could not utter a word. He used only to sing the name of God. But when he is in the third highest stage, there avang manasa gocharam eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So thought and speech, they cannot exist in that state. They are far below that intoxicated state. And Sri Ramakrishna is often compared to Chaitanya by M. Is he? Another time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to teach people what is joy. So that was Sri Ramakrishna's this one. When any real devotee hears God's name, from whichever source it comes, then he will be intoxicated. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he hears Hari's name, used to go into ecstasy. And one day evening, he was walking towards his place called Gambhira, a small cottage. And suddenly he heard the most melodious singing of God's name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's habit was, he would unconsciously rush towards that person and embrace that person. But he took a vow strictly, he will never allow any woman to come anywhere near him, including his own wife. The only woman whom he allowed to come was only his own mother, Shachi Devi. So it was, a sevak was following him. He was specially commissioned to protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such situations, because he can jump into the ocean and drown, or he can be pelted by stones by worldly people. Many things can happen. As he was going in Puri, suddenly he heard this most melodious, intoxicating singing of God's name. The moment he heard, he went into an unconscious state and then started running. His sevak understood where he is going. He understood that a woman, a public woman, was singing God's name. And then he went and forcibly held Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not allowing him to go. Later on, he must have explained to Mahaprabhu that you are rushing towards this singer. She happens to be a public woman. And when people, public, see you embracing this woman, what would be their opinion of you? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated it so much, immediately rewarded. I forget the Sevak's name, but he said, I am so pleased with you, I will take another person to protect me, but there is nobody who is to protect Vishnupriya, who was spending her days in the greatest intoxication of meditating upon God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his own wooden sandals for her to worship. And from that day onwards, she went on only getting absorbed. I will tell you a little bit very shortly. And then he sent this person who saved him, do you be with Vishnupriya? Such a pure person like you alone can protect. And so, as long as Vishnupriya was alive for many years, then he served. This, as soon as her husband left, Vishnupriya, how did she spend her time? She will get up early in the morning, 3 o'clock. She will take 2 small bowls. One is filled with rice. Another is empty. With each Mahamantra, which is Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. One chanting, one repetition, one grain. She puts into the other bowl. By about 1 o'clock or so, that small bowl will be filled. So many times she has chanted the name of God. And that she will cook, offer it to her Lord, and then give prasada to devotees who come there at that time. And the remaining she used to eat only once a day. You can imagine how much food is left out for her. Whole life she spent like that. What a great example. Similarly, Buddha's wife, Yashodhara, she also did exactly the same thing. We don't know how Rukmini Devi had spent her time, other incarnations, how they spent their time. Sita, definitely we know, excepting Rama. Sri Ramakrishna himself remarks that she was not aware her body, continuous chanting of Ramanama alone was her mainstay life for living alive. At that time only, Hanuman goes in the form of a small black monkey sitting. That story, beautiful story, I leave for another day. So, prayer is a tapasya. Through earnest prayer, one receives the grace of God and slowly realizes Him. But Sri Ramakrishna gives here, which very few scriptures give us. God can be realized by means of all paths. The same God is invoked by different names. But above all, God can be realized only by the grace of God. Then, the Surendra's house, the satsanga was going on. Surendra had a brother. He was asking a question. Sir, what do you think of theosophy? Master, I have heard that man can acquire superhuman powers through it and perform miracles. I saw a man who had brought a ghost under control. The ghost used it to procure various things for his master. Then Sri Ramakrishna says, what shall I do with superhuman powers? Can one realize God through them? If God is not realized, then everything becomes false. Then Sri Ramakrishna offered, I have astasiddhis, but I am not using them myself. But I don't know why he was not using. Had I been present at that time, I would have definitely given him a strong advice. Use your power to bring this Dwarika Baba, this Madhur Babu's son, Trailokyanath Vishwas, and see that your disciples, your devotees will have greater entry into the Dakshineswar temple, and then they will be looking after for their own good. So much of tapasya is done. But Sri Ramakrishna says, I have no use for it. After all, why should he use it? He used to say, Mother, do what you like. Shakali tomari icha. So you do, you know better. I don't need to waste my time in thinking and doing. You do it for me. I am your child. So these powers often bring tremendous amount of pride. When Narendra was offered, he was equally great like Sri Ramakrishna. He said that since you are not using them, it is a hint that I should also not use. But what am I going to do with these powers? Will they help me to realize God? Sri Ramakrishna said, no. But they will help you when you are doing my mother's mission, then they will help you. Of course, Swamiji also showed certain miracles. In course of time, we will talk about them. But at that time, he firmly rejected and said, let me first realize God. Afterwards, I will think about that. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.